Well, it really is just an absolute privilege to be with you this morning, and just so great to see some familiar faces, some good friends, and just a lot of you that have just walked with Jesus so many years. You know, we come here and we want to work with Jesus. We're not here to bring our little thing, but we're here to see what Jesus is doing and just work alongside what he's doing. So I'm trusting this morning as I preach that really Jesus just carries on doing what he's doing. Yeah, that as he's been doing, adding you to this congregation, that we're able to just blow wind in your sail and just see Jesus just transforming lives, your lives, so that you are more like him. So I'd like to start I'd like to go to 1 Peter 4, and I'm probably going to be reading a lot of scripture. I don't know, are we okay with English, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so just checking. You know, things have changed over a while. Thomas, you're right with English, eh? Okay, cool. but I was just reminded about, you know, our time is short. Our life is short. This morning, a good friend of mine passed away at 1 o'clock this morning. And, you know, his life was really a fragrance to Jesus. So it's a celebration that he's with Jesus. But obviously, heart sore that this morning. And for me, it was just a reminder, you know, that time is short. You know, we get so busy with the things in our lives, the important things, you know. That thing that's got to be fixed, Dirk, on that farm, on that, you know, you're sitting over here and he's already thinking about that thing that's got to be done. You're not. Okay, sorry. He's yeah. But the reality, that's our life. That's our life, you know. There's so much stuff happening. And it's good stuff. And it's stuff that we've got to do. We're all involved in these things. But there's the purpose of God in our lives. That we've got to be holding to. We got to be hearing what Jesus is saying. We got to be allowing him to direct us and not get distracted, because we can. We can get distracted from the things that are important. And so I'd like to read, therefore, in 1 Peter 4, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. And so there's a change. We used to be like that, and now we live for the purpose of God. We live for the will of God. Down further, and I'd like to, he lists a number of things that we were involved in, and many of us were involved in all these things, debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, idolatry. There's a number of things, and if we look back on our lives, we all, every one of us, there's aspects of that God has saved us from. God is taking us out, like Siggy's prayer, you know, taking it out of Hinduism, taking it out of all these things. He's taken us out, and he's put a different spirit in us. And he goes on, and he's in verse 7. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. There's nothing like when we see a life leave us that we realize, actually, there's got to be a purpose to life. We can't be just living day to day for what I want. We got to be living for the will of God. And so we need to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. And then he goes on and he says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. This is a scripture that I felt for you guys here in Joshen Otsun. That each of you, above all, love each other deeply. There's something, Jesus' last prayer to us was, may they be one as we are one. There's this total oneness of the Father. And that's what he prayed between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are, in a sense, there's such unity that they one. And that's what he's praying for us, that there'll be such unity, such oneness, that we'll be one. And the reality is we're involved in many relationships with each other, and sometimes those hurt. But you know, we're actually involved in to such a degree with each other as believers that we're married to each other. Did you realize that? There's this covenant that we have between each other because we love Jesus. That we love each other, you know what? And we've got to work through those things, for sure. We've got to deal with those things. But we've got to come out, like a marriage. You know, you can't walk out of marriage. You've got to make it happen. You have a fight with your wife that night, you know, you've got to sort it out before you go to work. Or, you know, maybe you came to church this morning and you had something. You had to sort it out before you get here, you know? And so it is in the body of Christ. There's got to be this love that we work through whatever it takes because we love each other. Because Jesus prayed that we be one. And it says over here, because love covers over a multitude of sins. That's a reality. When we really experience that, when somebody knows our deepest, darkest darkness and still loves us, we experience something of the love of the Father in our lives. We experience something of his acceptance. And it goes on and it says over here, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Like we've experienced some great hospitality from you guys. And this is part of just God's plan for the church. And so I want to put forward that purpose, our purpose in God. Is our purpose just to be here on a Sunday, enjoy some great time of fellowship, some great worship? Or is it really to be doing the will of the Father? Is it really to be a people that are look and smell and taste like Jesus? In a sense, there's something of an aroma of Christ from our lives that show who he is. That's the people of God. We're called to be his people, a people that belong to him, that are called by his name. And it goes over here, it says in verse 10, and I want to hit on this because I think this is key for us to grasp as believers. It says, each one. Who of you are each one? Maybe put up your hand. That's not all of you. Where's each one? That's every one of you. Every one of us, eh? It says over here, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. And then he says, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. And I want to put forward to you, I want to go through this, but there is a gift that you have received. Every one of you, there's a gift that God has put in your hands. Maybe just reach out your hand. Okay. God has put something in your hand. Okay. Everyone has put something into your hand. And it says over here, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. So out of God's grace for you, he's given you something. He's given you a gift. And we've got to administrate it. Sheesh. I don't enjoy administration. I don't know about you. Who enjoys doing paperwork and all the rest? I just don't enjoy it. But it's talking about the gift of God. We've got to administrate what God has given us. God's called us to administrate that which he's given us. And it says over here, each should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Actually, everyone serves everyone. That's the picture of the body that we've got over here, that he's given us. It says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And hopefully I'm doing that. as I'm speaking, yeah, hopefully it's the words of God hitting you. If anyone serves, you know, those who are going to serve tea and coffee afterwards, hopefully there's tea and coffee. Or, you know, whoever was here early serving, putting up chairs, it says, should do it with the strength God provides. There's so many different functions, and I'd like to just look at it, but I'd like to go to Ephesians 3. Oh, we got it. Okay. And I want to, there's a few things that are going to jump out at the scripture now that we've read it. Ephesians 3, and it from verse 7. Okay, well, let's stop there. I think that's a good verse to start with over here. It says, sorry, go to verse 1 again. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. We got Paul, and if we look at that, he says, a prisoner of Christ. Okay, he was a prisoner. He was a real prisoner then. On behalf of you Gentiles. He wasn't there because he was there for the Gentiles. It was because of them. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given me for you. There you are. There's that word, stewardship. He was given a stewardship of God's grace. So the grace that God gave was upon his life was to preach to the Gentiles. That was the grace that God put upon his life. And he had to steward it for those people. Do you see the similarities between our call? We might not be those preaching or opening up the scripture, but there's a stewardship and there's a gift on each one of us that we've got to steward. In verse 7, it says, and we look back in this thing and we think, living for the will of God, how can I live for the will of God? He in verse 7, he says, I became a servant of the gospel. Okay, is that a different translation? Okay. NIV. 83, please. Not the new one. Okay. Okay, so I'll carry on. Are you okay? There we are. For this reason, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you. Okay, that's verse 1. We're going to go to verse 7. Okay, nice. Okay. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Though I am the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain everything, the administration of this mystery. Okay, the administration of this mystery. Which was for ages past kept hidden in God who created all things. And then he goes on to verse 10. But before I go into verse 10, do you see the grace of God upon his life? Do you see that his grace was to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? So he was given this grace that he had to administrate. Because of the people. He was in prison because of this gift that God had given him. Do you see the similarities between us as believers? There's a gift that God has given you that you have got to administer amongst each other so that his purpose and his intent can be seen in this church. Without you, this church isn't going to go into all it has. And in verse 10, it says over here, his intent. Okay, this is the desire of God. This is his will. Okay? It says, his intent was that now, through the church, who's that? That's us. Yeah? We are the church. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to stop at that and just contemplate that. He says, now through the church. So it's not going to happen through Cliff, the wonderful preacher. No. It's not going to happen from one individual. It's through the church, through you. The manifold wisdom of God is going to be revealed. Now, okay, and it says over here, the manifold wisdom. So now manifold is like multifaceted. It's like a diamond that you have. And when you shine it to the light, you just see this facet because you see this color. I don't think you can form those same colors, in a sense, get back to that same pattern. If I had to turn it and sort of see a picture of those, that reflection of the light through that diamond, it's constantly changing. Isn't that so? There's like all these different facets. And as you turn it, there's something new. There's something striking. And that's what it's talking about when it talks about the wisdom of God. It's as he works through the church, there's the wisdom of God, this like diamond that keeps on showing something else of God. And it says over here, and it says, should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So what's happening? The angels are looking down at the church. And they are, and I've only got one word for it, there's this wow from heaven. There's this wow, look what's happening at Josh Jen Oatson. Look at the manifold wisdom of God in how he's touched this person's life, how this one's changed, how this relationship has shown God's glory, how this unity has moved the church forward. And so there's this wow from heaven as God's glory and his wisdom in his plan is being shown through us. There's this spectrum of light, in a sense that the angels don't even know, because it's being revealed like this. As God is doing stuff, there's, wow, look what God's done. And so there's this wow from heaven, as basically we're doing what God has called us to do, as we're living in what he's called us to live in. And as we've been given this grace upon our lives, as we've seen what God has put upon our lives and we administrate it, there's this wow from heaven as we're doing what he's called us to do. You might say, well, that sounds great, but you know, what is it? What? That sounds unreal. But every one of us, and it's as simple as this, what is easy for you? You ask, what is your gift? What is easy for you? I'll give you some time to think. This gift, we've got to understand, as we said earlier, everyone's been given a gift. I read that 1 Peter 4 verse 7. So one of the points in this, what is the grace being given you? My first point would be everyone has been given a gift. Every one of us. 1 Peter 4 verse 7 to 11. Each one, verse 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. Okay. So everyone's been given a gift. The second one is that it's used to strengthen the body. So 1 Corinthians 14:27. And I suppose many of you have read this scripture. Okay, well, we're reading the ESV. I've got NIV. NIV over here. It says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. All of these should be done for building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue..." Okay, we'll stop over there. Verse 26. "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue." In other words, whenever we come together, that's the dynamic that happens when we come together. When we get here on Sunday, there shouldn't just be one person speaking. In a sense, there's a word, yes. But there should be, like, God's dropped something on my heart. Or maybe, you know, God's given me something to encourage Uncle Donnie. You know, and I've come here and I'm discharging what God has put on me. He's arrested my heart this morning as I prayed, and he showed me someone, and you're an encourager. So you come and you come and bring encouragement to someone this morning. That's every part doing its part. That's everybody functioning. That's the body working together. And so we understand that this is used to strengthen the body. This is why we're here, to strengthen each other. It's a big job for Stefan to strengthen everyone. Because I think you could probably realistically really build strongly with maybe 12 guys, if that. So if we're not all doing our part, then the church is suffering. You know, the pictures the word talks about of the body of Christ is the body, which is a functioning unit, like standing here. I've got all my fingers, as far as I remember, all my toes. Every part of me is functioning together. But if I cut this finger off and I put it in chloroform, it's a non-functioning part of the body. It's a part of the body, but it's not a functioning part. But God, in His plan and His strategy for us, calls us to be this body that functions together as one. And so we understand that if God has given me this gift, it's for each other. I'm this finger that's attached to this hand, that blood flows in between, that when this finger cuts and hurts, that there's blood flow so that there's healing happening. So if this arm, if was detached, it wouldn't be able to heal. And this is the body that Jesus has designed. This is the oneness that He's talking about. This completeness, this working together as we bring our gifts and we serve each other. And my next point is that this gift is given by God. It's not something we've earned. You know, sometimes guys have got a healing ministry and this is my healing ministry. Or, you know, they've got an outreach and this is my, you know, I'm good at this outreach. I'm an evangelist and so I'm going to, you know. But this is nothing that we have earned, it's not an accolade that we've got behind us, this is something I've aspired to and I'm now in this position. No, it's a gift. What is a gift? It's something that's given. It's not earned. It's just, there we are. There's the gift. And so there's this thing is a gift from God. And so Romans 12, verse 3 to 5, it says, For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Isn't that true? That sometimes the reality is we see guys in ministry or in some type of form of ministry that they're good at and they think they've actually attained it. There's this aloofness. There's this, I'm thinking higher of myself. Isn't that so? It's not the kingdom. that's not, this is not Jesus building his church. It says, do not think more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. There's another gift. There's a measure of faith. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function. So a body there again, there's that picture of the body functioning together. This finger on the hand that's attached and getting life from. And then it says, so in Christ, we form one body. Who of you have given your life to Jesus? Huh? And you belong to Jesus. Huh? Amen. Have a look at this next scripture. It says over here, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Look to the person next to you and say, I belong to you. Huh? A scary thought. But we belong to each other. Isn't that amazing? That there's, God has made us a family, that we belong to each other. Remember I mentioned that thing that actually, you know, in our relationships, we need to look at each other through the eyes of, actually, I'm in Christ, I'm married to you. I'm one with you. That means I've got to sort out my issues. I've got to, tomorrow morning, if I'm going to sleep in bed with my wife tonight, I've got to make sure that I'm sorted out with her. There's no issues. Those things are sorted out. And it's the same in the body of Christ. There's this beautiful picture that we belong to each other. We are part of each other. And so I'm coming back to that question. So what grace, what gift has God given by his grace in your life? Maybe some of you know it. Maybe some of you it's clear. I'd like you to take you to a scripture, Romans 12. So a little bit further down. So it's after talking about all of this stuff that we've been talking about, it goes on to verse 6. There we are. We have been given different gifts according to the grace given us. There's this thing. There's the grace of God upon each one of us. He's put this gift in our hands. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So maybe there's one gift in the life of the church. Maybe you see things clearly. Maybe God speaks to you prophetically, and he gives you words. We to use it in proportion to our faith. So we might not be a prophet to the nations. Definitely not a prophet on Facebook. That's not a true prophet. We are prophet, yeah. There's many people that call themselves prophets, but actually this is where it happens. So God gives us those prophetic words, but it starts in proportion to our faith. So there's a starting over here amongst us as we operate with the gift God has given. As I feel a prophetic word, I go to Stefan and I say, hey, Stefan, I've got a word, you know, for Uncle Don, but, you know, what do you think about this? Am I wrong? Am I like hearing God correctly? There's a humility that I come with that gift. And as we speak to our leaders, there's a honing of the gift that God has put on our lives so that we can be effective. And so there's a growing in that area. And so maybe your gift is prophetic. Maybe you God gives you dreams, maybe you see black and white things, you realize that God has put this gift on you. Maybe that's your gift. That gift is nothing you've earned. Remember? It's nothing, it's to be used for the strengthening of the body. It's not to start an international prophetic ministry. And, you know, it's yeah, the body. God's called us to be this body. Then it says, if it is serving, let him serve. Maybe you were here early setting up the chairs. That's a gift of service. Like, there's no levels of gifts. It's in a sense that, you know, you are less than because you serve and you're doing this. You know, maybe it's serving tea at the back. You know, maybe in your homes, it's as you love having people over, and you've got a gift of hospitality. You love pulling people close and enjoy making good food. That's a gift. It's called hospitality. It's serving each other. If it is teaching, let him teach. Maybe you enjoy like teaching at Next Gen, at the Sunday school. You enjoy teaching the children. That's a teaching gift. If there's maybe you enjoy even just on a Wednesday when you meet with the community, you enjoy just sharing something that God has taught you in the Word. That's a teaching gift. And so you can exercise that gift in this body because you are part of the body. You're allowing that gift to be exercised and strengthened by each other. Maybe it's encouraging. It says, if it is to encourage, let him encourage. Now maybe just, as I mentioned it, you could probably think of some encouragers in your congregation. Maybe just shout out a name or two that are real encouragers. Stefan, who's any? Who's any? Huh? Simon. There you are. There's an encourager. Yeah? There's gifts that God has given us, and maybe that's it. Maybe you know exactly when you see someone, you come here this morning and someone's been on your heart. And you come here and you share with them. Actually, you know, I was thinking about you this morning, and this is the scripture I had. What's happening? You're using your gift of encouragement in the body. You're strengthening the body. You're not keeping it to yourself. You're not starting a ministry. but you're encouraging. You're doing what Jesus, you're administrating the gift that God has given you. And then it says, if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Maybe you, that guy or that lady that just sees the need. Maybe you might not have massive amount of money and you're just surviving on what you have. But you're a giver because you see the need. You see someone that's in need and your heart goes out to them. And you think, I've got to do something. Remember I said that it's easy for you. That's how we know what our gift is. It's because it's just you find yourself doing these things. There's an amount of training ourselves in the things of God, but it's something that it comes easy to us. Even though we might not have the finances, but your heart goes out to someone and you give. That's that you're contributing to the needs of others and you give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. And so maybe that's it. In the community setting, or you are part of the deacon group, you know, or you were given a gift of leadership, there's that gift on you. You to govern diligently in what you are given. And so we have these gifts that we've got to administrate, actually. God's given them to us. You naturally draw men, or you're a lady, and you naturally draw women to yourself. It's a leadership gift. We need to govern diligently. So we need to administrate that gift. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, and this is a this is a you've got such a mercy heart, and I when I think about people with a mercy heart, you know, I think of Johan, you know, and I remember a time when he was in the congregation and they opened their home up to someone that was destitute. And the reality is they abused them. But there was a heart of mercy. And many of you have a heart of mercy where you see the need and you can't but help. You've got to make a plan. You've got to care for them. You've got to, you know, that heart beats. That's God-given. That's a gift that God has given for mercy. And I think that, you know, that gift can be so easily abused by people. And that's why we need the body working together, you know. I remember having a chat with them about putting in boundaries in looking after someone. Because the mercy heart will just give constantly until they are finished, until there's nothing left. And actually, you know, we need each other. These gifts are so connected, and this body is so connected. And so maybe this is your gift. And it says you to do it cheerfully. Because it's someone who's mercy-hearted, it is a tough road. Because it just seems like you're being abused all the time by people because of your mercy heart. And so we to do it cheerfully. But this is the safety in the body of Christ. That we can care for each other. That those that are mercy-hearted, we can help maybe put in some boundaries in their mercy. And help them and protect them. And so we find our purpose in Christ, actually. Because he's given us a gift that we've got to administrate. So every one of us has been given that gift or one of these gifts in the life of the church. And I believe this morning he's wanting to put just another sense of purpose on you. And maybe for you it's the first time that you've heard about Jesus' purpose for me. And I think there's two groups of people that I really want to just, you know, pray for. And the one group being, you see the purpose of God for me. And it's a revelation this morning of actually, God's called me to be part of a body and use what I've been given to share with others. Maybe you've understood that. And this is the second group. But you've been distracted by the many other things that come in life that take our attention from his purpose. And this is a call back to that. It's a call back to actually his purpose and his will for my life.